And even he describes the devotees of the Lord, which are opulences of the Lord, as they appear reflected in this reflected region of creation. And then a second question, or the sixth and final question of the sages, is now being addressed. Its culmination comes in text 43, but all of this is part of that description. The question was, now that Krishna has left, where have religious principles taken shelter? When Krishna was present, just by his presence, everything was protected. Everything inauspicious was driven away. Everything auspicious was invoked. And then Krishna left. He came to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants and reestablish principles of religion. He did. And he left. So how are religious principles, this is the age of Kali, how are religious principles to be upheld and given shelter and protection? So text 43 is the brilliant as the sun verse, Puranarka. As brilliant as the sun, that Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen. Just after the setting of the sun, the moon, one who protects the principles of religion becomes protected by religion. And when Prabhupada would describe what is dharma, one of the ways he would describe what is dharma is by saying what it isn't. First, it's not a belief, because beliefs can change, but something that's unchanging, that which sustains dharma, is that which sustains, is unchanging. And Prabhupada referred to the Varnashram Dharma, or Sanatana Dharma, is the universal principle that, because Krishna created it, Chaturvarnamaya Srishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagasha, Krishna creates the system of religion and he creates the system of divisions, and so divisions are natural within society because Krishna creates them. And then now the point of dharma, one who abides by the duties prescribed for one according to guna and karma, or according to varna and ashram, one who abides by those duties for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the converse is also there. One who doesn't is without protection. So that's the question of the sages. Naturally, because they're sages, they're concerned. What about themselves? They're concerned about people in general. They're elevated souls, and elevated souls are considered concerned not just about their own salvation. They're concerned about the welfare of people in general. When Prabhupada would describe the duties of the brahmanas, first he would describe the duty of the kshatriya and then say the duty of the brahmana is to guide the kshatriya. The duty of the brahmana is to give protection according to the principles of religion. And the brahmanas are to guide and make sure that they're doing so according to the principles of religion. Because it's very easy to get involved in something when you're hands-on, when you're managing something as a kshatriya, and to lose track of, in a detached manner, what are principles of religion, and then how to apply principles of religion in different circumstances. It can get very delicate. So guidance is necessary by those who are very pure, the brahmanas, who their guidance isn't political, their guidance is on scriptural basis and practical. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So, now that Krishna has gone, where are religious principles to be found? So there are some very beautiful verses, very important verses, that are in this section, where what the Srimad Bhagavatam is, and this were the verses that we're discussing this morning now, are what the Srimad Bhagavatam is, and what is it in relation to the rest of the Vedas, how it is to be understood, how it cannot be understood, how to approach the Srimad Bhagavatam so that one can recognize the fullness of what it is and get the fullness of what it has to offer. Just previous verse, text 40, is a very nice verse. I'll just, you'll recognize the Sanskrit. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nikshayasaya Lokasya Dhanyam Swastyayanam Mahat. Very nice verse. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Idam Bhagavatam Nama, is the literary incarnation of God. See how this is connecting the last question with the former question. What are the incarnations of the Lord as they appear within the world? So, Sutta is including the Bhagavatam as one of the incarnations of the Lord. Literary incarnation of the Lord. So, Vyas, within the purport, Vyasa is also described as the literary incarnation in the sense that he's in the Shaktivesha avatar category. He's empowered by the Lord to compile the scriptures, Prabhupada reasons, because you can't write something scriptural, you can't write something pure based, unless one is empowered. Kind of like obvious, as they say, you can't write transcendental literature unless you're empowered. Meaning, those who aren't empowered who write spiritual books, it's rubbish. It's worse than rubbish. It's cheating. It's rubbish with the name of gold on it. On the flight from Delhi to Chicago, the whole cast of stewardesses all went to see a certain personality in Delhi when they were there, whose name I will not mention. And when they saw me, they thought, oh, here's somebody that must know about this person they all went to see. Every one of them, we had this conversation about that person who they went to see. And one of them was like the leader of the pack. She's from San Francisco, and you know, she considers that this person they went to see is her spiritual teacher. And I was tempted to ask, what is that teaching? But I didn't. I just, because she was a Bay Area, you know, personality. So, There's no spiritual teaching with this particular personality. It's the mama hug lady. So one of them said, I didn't feel anything. But I did see a lot of Western people, especially the ladies, they were there. They really looked very peaceful and happy. And what's the philosophy? So, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Panchara, Triki, Vidhim, Vina, Aikuntiki, Harir, Bhaktir, Utpattaya, Ivakalpate. But, in one sense it looks nice because people are being nice instead of nasty, but it's also misleading because that's not what, according to the Bhagavatam language, it cheats people from the real opportunity of the human form of life. But then, like the San Francisco lady, the one that considers this person her teacher, said, long ago, in San Francisco, I got a book, and it was very nice. She couldn't pronounce Prabhupada's name. Said Prabhupada. Oh, yes, Prabhupada. And I went to the Los Angeles Govinda's restaurant, and oh, it was so good. And I saw the deities, but there's no teaching. So the Bhagavatam is meant, that sentiment needs to be properly connected. You've got a work to do. That is to say, even people that have some sentiment need guidance, what to speak with people that don't. When I landed and went through immigration, almost all of the immigration officers that I've met, the past eight of them that I can remember, they're all philosophers. The guy was going through my passport and looked at me and said, so you believe in the divine? How long have you been in India? What was your purpose of going there? And then, so you believe in the divine, right? Like part of his routine questions. I said, yes, and how about you? And he said, no. Then he said, I used to. But when I have seen all the inhumanity that goes on, I lost my faith that there is something divine that's protecting us. Is that a work cut out? We're not like, we can't take responsibility for what irresponsible people do, but we certainly can propagate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and bring light, because that's what the sages of Naimisharanya were intending to do. They were intending to perform a yajna for 10,000 years. Of course, it was just the beginning of Kali Yuga, where people lived for such duration. But, generations could continue and becomes a big long yajna. Where the purpose was to diminish the influence of the age of Kali. And certainly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant to diminish the influence, to provide shelter from, and not only shelter, protection by the principles of religion, therefore shelter, but means to achieve spiritual perfection during this age of Kali. Very, very wonderful. And part of accomplishing that is extending the mission. It's part of how we get that shelter. It's a very interesting dynamic. I just recently, I'll get back to the Bhagavatam, but just these verses, but one devotee was recently asking, he heard another tenured devotee say that really, after 10 years of preaching Krishna consciousness, my bucket's empty. I've been extending myself and reading so many, but I don't really have any depth of Krishna consciousness. So his conclusion was, therefore, don't preach Krishna consciousness, just fill your bucket. And telling others that's his realization. So I was being asked, is that so? Should I not? And the answer is, we should do both. We should make an internal cultivation of what is Krishna consciousness, and we are to extend ourselves to others with whatever it is that we have received. Certainly that's Prabhupada's example. He didn't have first become, realize the absolute truth in full and then speak something. That's not how he engaged those who he was training. Nor did he encourage them just mindlessly mouth the words and don't reflect on what the words mean and don't internalize the words. He taught both. So that's where you get protection. So Dharma in the form of the as we find in the pages of the Bhagavatam, people that are, according to different varnas and ashrams, they're doing different things. Just like in Canto 7, there is the description of the perfect grihastha. But those of you that are grihasthas, read the section on perfect grihasthas, and it's up there. Or vanaprastha. When somebody asked me, I'm at a certain stage of life and how do I practice vanaprastha now? You read what it says in the Bhagavatam and you want to go, back to grihastha. It's so severe. Too severe. Just not possible. Not even humanly possible. People would die before they were able to fulfill all of that, what's described there. So he went back and bought another business. Decided he would serve Krishna that way. So the forms of things that are in the Bhagavatam need guidance. And so that's what's in these pages. After describing the Bhagavatam as the literary incarnation of God, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, what is it meant for? Nikshrayasya means the ultimate good. There's Shreyas and there's Nikshrayasya. Shreyas and Prayas. And Nikshrayas. The ultimate benefit, that's the purpose Bhagavatam is aimed at, helping people achieve that. And Svasti Ayanam, it's all successful and all perfect. So this is, leading up to now that Krishna has gone, the answer to that question. So 41. Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected amongst the self-realized. And after extracting the cream of all the literatures and histories of the universe. So Vyas compiled all the Vedas and took the essence of all the Vedas in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and presented it to his son Vyas. So, three things that are highlighted in the purport. The qualification of the receiver. Why would Shukadeva Goswami, who was, you say a few things about who he was already self-realized even before he was born. Who can say that? Who can say they're self-realized? What to speak of self-realized before they're born? and yet he was attracted to the Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami, when he appeared at the assembly of the sages at Naimisharanya, although he was just 16 and no one had even met him before, but he was so elevated that just to be in his presence, they immediately understood how elevated he was. And they all stood like, you know, the compelling presence of such a superior personality, everyone being cultured. They all stood just to receive him. Respected amongst all of them, even his own father, Vyas. And his father's spiritual master, Narada. And all the great sages and yogis and rishis, and they all understood immediately, he's the best. He's the most elevated amongst us all. And they all stood to receive him. So Vyas, the mention is that Vyas taught it to Shukadeva. So who the proper receiver of this message? Then in turn that makes one the proper deliverer of the message. And it's the cream of all Vedic literature. So Prabhupada in the purport discusses the cream. What's the cream portion of the milk? It's the best portion of the milk. Milk is such wholesome, nutritious food, and the richest is the cream. So the Bhagavatam is compared to the cream of all Vedic literature. And histories, and he adds, of the universe, it's not in the Sanskrit, saram saram samudritam. He had taken out the cream. Samudritam. And of all the universe, Prabhupada adds this and spends some time in the purport discussing that the message of the Bhagavatam is written about persons and places outside of this planet and even within the entire universe. There are places that take place, there are pastimes that take place on the heavenly planets. And Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, or Kailash. And there, so it's not just limited. He wants us to understand the Bhagavatam is not just a worldly literature. It's a it's written from by a literary incarnation about the personality of Godhead. And it is to be, if the benefit is to come to us, we're to understand and accept that on the strength of the authority of the sages and Vyasadeva, that it is that kind of literature. Prabhupada writes, there is no gain, however, in accepting the message of Bhagavatam from the unbelievers, the atheists, and the professional reciters who make a trade of the Bhagavatam for the laymen. So he, you know, goes on, Shukadeva Goswami didn't come and make a business out of narrating Srimad Bhagavatam and following the line of Shukadeva Goswami, when it also should not do that. It's not the only place that Prabhupada spoke against that principle of receiving one's sustenance in that way. Rather, it's those who are speaking the Bhagavatam are to speak the Bhagavatam from the consciousness, from the place of consciousness, that just glorification of the Lord and serving the previous acharyas by vibrating the message in a pure manner, being interested in the purpose of the Bhagavatam, which is giving protection, giving light, giving direction, bringing transformation into the lives of worldly influenced people. And the worldly influences of people is rapidly rising, like the toilet bowl is rising. It's just astounding the rate at which degradation is taking place. I could recite some of them that I saw in India, but I'll do it another time. Shocking. So he speaks, Prabhupada speaks, about half of the purport, about not hearing from, although it's the Bhagavatam that's being recited, not hearing from professional reciters. He gives the metaphor, we've heard so many times, of milk, which is nutritious, touched by the lips of a serpent, equals poisonous. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the purpose of the Vedas is to know Him, Lord Krishna. And Bhagavatam is Lord Krishna Himself in the form of recorded knowledge. Therefore, it is the cream of all the Vedas, and it contains all historical facts of all times in relation with Sri Krishna. It is factually the essence of all histories. So, for your homeschooling courses, just reading Srimad Bhagavatam for your history section. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. So, text 42, Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great Emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganges, awaiting death without taking food or drink. And where Prabhupada goes in the purport is, so one should hear from Shukadeva Goswami, we shouldn't hear from professional reciters, and also, very important, one should not hear from those who are not in disciplic succession. To make this point that's being presented in Prabhupada's purport in current time frame reality, there's hasn't come to the Midwest yet, but I imagine it will. There's I'll mention names. There's a very nice Vaishnava in Varsana, whose name is Ramesh Baba. Ramesh Baba is a personal friend of Radhanath Maharaj. And because from the years that he lived in Vrindavan, he met Ramesh Baba and he was very kind to him. And they developed a nice friendship. So over a period of time, he would go back and visit. And there was one family that, because I just discussed this with Radhanath Maharaj in Mayapur, one family that had a young girl as a daughter, as a child. And Maharaj said, I remember when the girl was born. I mean, literally just like infant, very newborn child. She's now 10 years old. And she has a little preaching circuit going on in the Northeast because somebody got the bright idea, oh, she should come and speak Bhagavatam. And she's speaking Bhagavatam, and she cries Bhagavatam and sings Bhagavatam and has a big audience because there's something about how she speaks that attracts people. But there is a group of individuals in our Northeast congregation that don't make a distinction between hearing in disciplic succession and not. And so they flock to hear because she speaks in a way they've not heard before. People, you know, a new package, a new product. Let's go. Without understanding this principle that's being spoken here. And there are others that understand the message that it says here, and they're quite alarmed. And their influence is growing. I'm speaking the way that I'm speaking now as a point of protection for that reason. Because chances are it's going to head out, you know, across the country. Venkata Bhatta, this was during the summer of last year, sent me a little note saying how shocked he was to see, in Rabindra's absence in the Philadelphia temple, a poster that more or less described her as a Shaktivesh avatar, not found in the Srimad Bhagavatam list, but otherwise describing her like that, with thousands and thousands of followers, and oh, please come in, and it was right in the temple, because when the cat's away, the mice will play. The poster went up on the wall, and people that are trained to hear from Srila Prabhupada are now being encouraged to go here, not from disciplic succession. So those that are not discriminating aren't discriminating. So I want to read the Prabhupada's words with having prefaced with that, so that you're alert to something like this, because, you know, it's gone now all the way from Boston down to Washington with, you know, she's got a full circuit before she even comes next summer or this summer of bookings of places to go and audiences to speak to. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All transcendental messages are received properly in the chain of disciplic succession. The disciplic succession is called parampara. Unless, therefore, Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literatures are received through the parampara system, the reception of knowledge is not bona fide. Vyasadeva delivered the message to Shukadeva Goswami, and from Shukadeva Goswami, Sutta received the message. One should therefore receive the message of Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami, or from his representative, and not from any irrelevant interpreter. It's one thing to respect the sadhu, it's another thing to go and sit at the sadhu's feet and hear transcendental katha, because it will impact how you... What hearing does is it impacts how you see the world, and it impacts your heart, which tells how you see the world and how you live your life. And the idea of going back to Godhead through that sound, to transcendental sound vibration, very much depends upon the fidelity, the transparency of that message from disciplic through disciplic succession. Just like, it's kind of obvious, but when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita, he could have chosen any number of people. He could have chosen brahmanas. He could have chosen sannyasis. He didn't choose a brahmana. He chose a kshatriya. Didn't choose a sannyasi or a rishi, a great learned scholar. He chose a grihastha. But he chose because this is his devotee and his friend. So the qualified person became the qualified recipient. So scholarship or speaking ability or something or other, or charisma or whatever it is not the qualification. The qualification is receiving the mercy of Krishna through disciplic succession. Very nice section that we were discussing in Mayapur, where at the very beginning of the day of Brahma, where Swayambhuva Manu appears after the Kumaras and after Lord Shiva appears, comes Manu. And Manu's qualification is very, very clear. He's received the mercy of Lord Brahma. And so Lord Brahma imparts transcendental knowledge because of that qualification of receiving his mercy and being submissive to his indication. How could one be submissive? The connection I want to make here is, how can one receive the full, that which the Bhagavatam wants to deliver, if you don't approach the Bhagavatam in the method that the Bhagavatam describes that you should approach it with, however gifted somebody may be? So because Maharaj, and Maharaj Prakshit, he had from the time of his birth, before his birth, he demonstrated what his qualification was he was the grandson of the Pandavas and in the line of pure devotees. Imagine what his childhood was like. Nothing we can compare, even the best of what we offer our children. Pure devotees speaking the message of Krishna, having just experienced Krishna being with them. And Maharaj Prakshit hearing and hearing and hearing. But specifically when he gets to hear from Shukadeva Goswami, that's where at least Rupa Goswami is given the indication how Maharaj Prakshit achieved perfection. So the level of devotion, level of devotee that he was on, such a high level. But he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Emperor Prakshit received the information of his death in time, and he had once left his kingdom and family and sat down at the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. All the great sages, rishis, philosophers, mystics, etc., went there due to his imperial position. They were they're making their presence so that auspiciousness would be created for his departure. They offered many suggestions about his immediate duty. And at last it was settled that he would hear from Shukadeva Goswami about Lord Krishna. Thus the Bhagavatam was spoken to him. So they, the sages, rishis, philosophers, mystics, everybody recognized Shukadeva Goswami as the most qualified person to prepare Maharaj Prakshit for meeting death. And so he was prepared. He achieved perfection by hearing in the proper manner. So we need to be discriminating. Along with eager, we need to be discriminating. Then the final paragraph, Sripad Shankaracharya, who preached Mayavad philosophy and stressed the impersonal feature of the Absolute, also recommended one may take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. For there's no hope of gain from debating. Indirectly, Sripad Shankaracharya admitted that what he had preached in the flowery grammatical interpretations of Vedanta Sutra cannot help one at the time of death. At the critical hour of death, one must recite the name of Govinda, which can be pretty difficult when you're about to die, because everything breaks down and so much pain and heat and mind doesn't function. So it really can't be like, you know, completing your rounds. It has to be from the heart, so we can practice chanting from the heart. Because when the body isn't working and the mind isn't working and everything is too much, overwhelming, it has to come from the soul itself. Govinda. I have a little anecdotal item. A disciple who has joined the army. It was a very bright move to join the army at this time. And they decided to join the medic squad. So they got training so that, and they're going to be shipped off to Iraq at the end of April. And it's a woman, devotee, who will be parachuted in when soldiers are wounded somewhere, and with their medical thing, you know, decide who is going to live and who is about to die. And their order is, if someone is about to die, you move on. You go to the next person who can live. They're trained to, like, survive in very, very difficult circumstances. The physical training is like the Olympics or something. They're really, really intense. And I was being asked the question, what do I do? Spiritually, you know, medically I'm being trained what to do. But what I do spiritually when I see a person is about to die. You know, and they were really serious. They're like zoomed in on how to give spiritual benefit to people. So it's, you know, what about if they can't, like, they can't chant? Because, you know, what's being said specifically is chant the name Govinda. So practice a lot. Govinda! Govinda! There was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada whose name was Ushik, and kind of a grumpy old guy. I'm not kind of, a really grumpy old guy. But a nice devotee. And he was always chanting. I mean, like, even when you're talking to him and even when he's talking to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I'm giving class, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So besides grumpy, he was a little eccentric. But then he gave himself sannyas. And, you know, because he was so old, he was like 70-something, you know, grumpy old man, what are you going to do? And he was walking along the street in San Francisco and, you know, just chanting, and he died right on the sidewalk. But there was somebody with him, and because it wasn't just the mechanical practices, his heart was really into it. He chanted Krishna's name and gave up his body. So, you know, I'm sure he left his grumpiness behind. And I'm sure he took, you know, a great spiritual destination as a result of his great faith in the holy name. And one needs faith in the holy name. How do you administer to a dying person when they're desperate? And when we're desperate, and, you know, everything that, all the false shelters, they're not only theoretically gone, they're gone. They're gone. There's nobody or no nothing, nothing, all of those shelters are gone and you feel yourself being pulled away. I just heard Prabhupada in a lecture saying he had recently been in London, and he met with a person whose name I can't remember, some Lord somebody or other, long name. And the somebody or other said, Swamiji, I will die peacefully. Prabhupada said he does not know. First of all, he doesn't accept that there's life after death. And he's thinking he will die peacefully. You know, the destiny of someone that doesn't... Prabhupada's main point was these are very elevated, in this world, respected individuals. He added, what's his name from University of Moscow, Katovsky, and then this Lord somebody or other in the UK, you know, professor, big, a noble person, in the noble elite of England, that don't even know ABC. Prabhupada's point was even a village person in India. They don't have any education or birth qualification. They're just simple, they're peasant worker. They know that there's life after death, and they live their life accordingly. So the so-called elevation of modernity just robs people of such basic understandings of life. Thinking, you know, if a person is in the category of asura, what's his destination? And he's thinking, Swamiji, I will leave peacefully. Not so. Yamadutas don't leave you in a peaceful position. But they don't know. So we're very fortunate because we also, whatever little understanding we had, it was very little and not supported enough by scriptural understanding that when the time of death would come, that we would have any tangible shelter. So Ante Narayana Smriti, he concludes. By absorbing oneself in the Srimad, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, you become attached to Krishna. And becoming attached to Krishna, Krishna becomes attached to you. And that's perfection. So how easy to achieve perfection just by becoming absorbed. Even just regularly hearing, but it's so, Bhagavatam is so saram, so nice. It's very easy to become addicted to Srimad Bhagavatam. It has become so satisfied, pleased with the message of the Bhagavatam. And you become attached to Krishna. You start to think of Krishna just in spontaneous ways and see the world in the light of the message of the Bhagavatam. It just changes your life just by hearing regularly Srimad Bhagavatam. How valuable. Okay. Any discussion? Bhagavatam becomes contaminated, but the influence, the purifying influence, is withdrawn. Just like offenses against the holy name. The holy name is pure. But persons who chant with offense, Nama Prabhu is absent. There's mercy that accompanies the Bhagavatam, or any saintly, so you're the saintly person, you offend the saintly person, or take the saintly person as an ordinary person. One doesn't get the full benefit. the benefit that one gets is offense. Well, how can you call that benefit? Well, you get attached to Krishna in the negative sense. That was their question throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and they probably give an example about flowers. Everything would be nice, but why has to hear from the right source? And then George Harrison was there also saying, maybe some point like this, flowers, well, isn't it all that flowers? Can't you just take which flower that you're liking, whichever smell that you're attracted to? And probably said, no. That's a specific question. No, I can't. How can you feel like this? Can you explain it in proposal in one explanation?
Yeah. There's mercy to come through the disciplic succession that's just not accessible. That's the idea. The flowers that look nice, it's like the recitation of Bhagavatam that's not through disciplic succession. It looks like the real thing, but it doesn't deliver the real thing. It doesn't deliver the fullness of the real thing. Just like, Krishnadas and his bhajans, people are attracted. But what is it that they're attracted? There's something there that's attracting people. But what's the consciousness behind that is going to determine the full effect or not. It needs to be heard. Bhagavatam needs to. So it's not that. So go back to her question. It's not that the sun becomes.